dinner to you. All right? Well, good morning, everybody. Like my wife Jenny said there, if you've been here in the last 3 weeks, you don't know who I am. I'm Pastor Cliff, and it's good to be back. I was here for a couple weeks, but then we were away together last week, and so I just want to say this first and foremost. I want to give a big thank you to Jenny and Nancy for bringing the message back on Mother's Day. They did a great job. Really appreciate that. I certainly appreciate not having to preach on Mother's Day, because that's tricky waters. So thank you for for doing a great job there. And then Pastor Ted brought the message 2 weeks ago, and I really appreciate him filling in. As Ted was preaching that Sunday, I was like, well, Lord, here you go. This is the jumping off point for this series we'll be starting today. And then last week, as Jenny and I were away, you know, Wes and Jess, the dynamic duo over there, they brought the message last week. So I just, it's really awesome to be a part of a body of believers where, you know, we don't look upon one person to do it all, but we look to how has God created you uniquely to serve, and somebody steps up, and you know the church keeps going and growing. So that's really a good thing. So this morning we are going to start something, a new series. You can see our title this morning is The Cost of Freedom, and really there's no better day to start this message, this series, which is going to be about freedom, you know, for however long it runs, in a number of areas, but to talk about freedom itself than to start that on Memorial Day. You know, Memorial Day, of course, not just a holiday, not an excuse for a three-day weekend and barbecues and all that stuff, which we get to enjoy, but we get to enjoy that because of the tremendous sacrifice given by those who gave their lives, the ultimate sacrifice, gave their lives in the establishment of and the defense of our freedom. So, you know, I'm sure there's people here in this room or watching to it, you know, that you know somebody who gave their life in the armed forces, the armed services, in defense of the liberty of this country. And for that, you know, to say thank you is not enough. But we begin there with thank you, and Memorial Day gives us an opportunity to reflect, you know, to really think about what it costs to be free. Because the point we're making today is that when we get comfortable, we can get really complacent in our freedom. And in that complacency is an opportunity for the opponents of freedom to put us back into captivity. And if you're here this morning, you know, I don't know why you came here this morning. I don't know. The Lord knows. He knows why you're here. And I want you to know how much God cares for you, how much he thinks of you, that he has planned this message today for you to walk in freedom from whatever it is, from whatever hurt or pain or addiction or whatever it is that you're hurting and crying out for help, that everything he's doing today is to help you experience his freedom, maybe for the first time, or to have it renewed. And, you know, I mean, Jenny and I don't compare notes, but I mean, like the songs this morning, even her prayer, she doesn't know what I'm going to say here in this message, you know, but all of that is reinforcing this idea and this truth that God wants you to be free in every area of your life. So that's what we're going to do today. Amen. Okay. Maybe you guys are out of practice with saying amen or something. I don't know. The same freedom that we have as a country, as the United States, is the freedom that we have to uphold and maintain as followers of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how are we going to get there? And we'll show you how those things are related. How many of you, let's just ask a simple question, how many of you appreciate freedom? Okay, all right. Anybody in the room go, well, you know. No, you appreciate the freedom. And especially, has anyone here traveled to another country where you don't have that kind of freedom? Right? I mean, traveling outside of the country and experiencing how other countries live, you kind of go, yeah, we got it really good here in America. So, and really, it helps you to appreciate all the more. How many of you appreciate the freedom that you have as a follower of Jesus Christ? The question I'm asking, is your life in any way, shape, or form better now than with Jesus than it was apart from him? Can I get an amen on that? Okay. Well, again, our prayer this morning then is that you, if you're here today, and you have not yet experienced the freedom of Jesus Christ, that you leave here with it. And that if you have it, but you're maybe that you have a fuller understanding of it and recognize where the enemy is scheming against you to take away your freedom. So that's what we're going to do, the cost of freedom, all right? So as we begin this morning, we're going to begin with our central verse for today. It's Galatians 5:1. Now, all the scripture is inspired by God, and therefore it is good for us, and it is important. But if you're like just starting out or like, well, you know, what scripture should I memorize? I would start right here. This is a great one to start. Galatians 5:1. Let's read Galatians 5:1 nice and loud together. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, when we read that, two immediate things jump out at us, okay? One, freedom is most important to God. I want you to say that. Freedom is most important to God. And secondly, there is intense opposition to God's freedom. That's what Paul just said here. Freedom is why Jesus Christ came to earth, and this keep standing firm tells us that there is opposition to that freedom. I don't want to say that that's the gospel in a nutshell, but that it is. And that is the Christian life in a nutshell, right here. Christ came to set us free, and there is a force at work in this world who wants to take away that freedom. So let's break it down. Freedom is most important to God. Well, you know, Paul says it was for freedom that Christ set you free. The very reason he sent Jesus Christ into this earth, he sent him into the world to not just be a nice guy who did nice things for people. That if that's our understanding of Jesus, it is extremely limited and we miss the point. But he sent his son, he sent the very part of himself into this world. He gave his very best to this world so that he could set people free. Why? Because in the very beginning, he created us for fellowship, for relationship with him. If you go all the way back to the beginning, this entire book is the story of mankind's captivity and God's plans to redeem it. In the beginning, he created Adam and Eve. He created us for fellowship, created man and woman in his image so that we could communicate with him, we could talk with him, we could hang out with God. And then he put us in this giant playground and said, go, have a great adventure, and let's do it together, and it'll be wonderful for you, and you'll live forever, and you'll have all this stuff, peace and love and joy and purpose and all that stuff. And he said, you only got one thing to do, one thing you can't do, and mankind promptly ignored it and traded away what would have been theirs already for something in the here and now, for an immediate gratification. They listened to a lie that said, you're missing out. There's more. And by doing that, they became slaves to the very things that God said you are to be in authority over. See, when God put them in the garden, he said, you have dominion, you have authority over all things, over all creatures, over all land, over everything in nature. It's yours. But when we sin by rejecting and saying, no, God, I know better than you, it reversed. We became slaves to the very things that we were supposed to be masters over. So all of God's plans is for us to walk in freedom. what is freedom? I mean, what are we talking about? And freedom from what? Okay. Well, so anytime we look at the New Testament and we see this word freedom, this is what it means. A state of freedom as opposed to slavery. We all understand slavery is a bad thing, right? Yeah. It means we are free, we are exempt, unrestricted, unfettered. Does that begin to give you a mental picture of what that means, right? Free from the dominion or the authority of sin. Free in the possession of gospel privileges. It means you are not under the authority, you're not ruled by sin, but you are master over it, and you receive all the blessings of the gospel. All the good things, the abundant life that Jesus promised you could have. That's what it means to be free. So again, when God placed us in the garden, he said, be unfettered, be unrestricted, go, explore, enjoy. Just don't do this one thing. Here's the boundary. Here's the restriction. Here's the restraint. Not because God is some cosmic killjoy, but because he knows what is best for us and that we have to resist that temptation, that lie that says, oh, there's something more, and that a restriction in this sense is not good for me. That's the lie. So freedom is most important to God. So we have to understand, because we are all in slavery or captivity. Everybody say all. We are all in slavery or captivity. This is why it matters so much to God. Because every single man, woman, and child on the planet is subject to slavery. You don't believe me? Let's look at the scriptures. All right? Throughout the scriptures, we see this theme. All right? Let's read Exodus 2, 23. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. I need the chains that are in the bucket that aren't here. Thank you. This is amazing. I mean, the song we just sang, Living Hope, right? I cried out to you. I mean, here it is. That's why we're singing this song. I'm like, God, you're good, because Jenny didn't know this scripture was in here, right? The sons of Israel cried out. Thank you. Whoops. What did I do here? Hello? What did I do? What button did I hit? Yeah. Come on now. What did I do? Lord? Yeah, that is us in the water. That was part of our vacation. That's a story for another time. We're back? There we go. All right, I don't know what happened there. Shush. All this to make a point. Okay. How many of you are visual learners, right? So the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. The story of the Old Testament is the story of the physical captivity of God's people, the Israelites. They are constantly in chains. They are constantly in bondage. They are constantly being overrun and overruled by other countries. And it's not a good place. It's not fun. Okay? People in captivity do not enjoy it. Life stinks. And we understand that, whether it's physical captivity or any kind of restriction that limits our ability to enjoy and appreciate the life that we have. Now, America still leads the way in promoting freedom. I'm not saying we get it right all the time. I'm saying we do it a heck of a lot better than most other countries do. We understand that slavery is wrong. We understand that racism is wrong. We understand that trafficking is wrong. They are all chains. They are all the restrictions put on somebody else that is harmful to them. And that every human being should be granted the right of freedom, the right to pursue the life that they want. In the New Testament, though, there's a different kind of bondage. Okay, so everything that happens in the Old Testament is the physical representation, the physical illustration to help us understand the spiritual application. So God shows us something in the flesh so that we can understand what he wants to do in our hearts later on. All right, so let's read what Jesus said in John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." Let's say, everyone. Everyone. Paul says in Galatians 4:3, let's read it. "So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world." Okay? Not just a physical captivity, which is bad, because a physical captivity in this temporary life means there's a temporary separation or limitation. All right? That's a bad thing. But this life is temporary at the end of the day. 60, 80, maybe 90 years, if you're lucky. All right. But there is something that is far worse that God wants to address, and that is the spiritual bondage and captivity in our hearts. Because if we are captive and slaves to sin, then that results in eternal separation and an eternal restriction in a place called hell. And God said, I don't want you to be there because my plan was that you would walk in freedom, that we would be in fellowship together, we would be in relationship together. I don't want you to be in that place of captivity, so I'm going to do everything I can to set you free. This whole point of, you know, everyone commits this is the sin, you know, and we kind of start, we have an issue with that as human beings. We go, no, not everyone, not me. I'm okay. You know, but really, if we examine that, that argument doesn't hold up. The best we can come up with is, well, I'm not as bad as some people. What do we do? You know, I've lied, but I've never stolen. Well, I've stolen some things, but I never robbed anybody. Well, I've robbed somebody, but I never hurt anybody. Well, I hurt some people, but I never murdered anybody. Well, I murdered one person, but not a bunch. That's the best we can come up with. And that's where we get to. See, I've never murdered anybody, so therefore I'm okay. What we don't understand is that in God's eyes, sin is sin. All of it. It all falls short of His glory, of His perfection, of His standard. Okay, maybe you didn't murder anybody, but I'm willing to bet you made an illegal U-turn at some point in your life. Or that you loitered right behind that sign that says, no loitering. One of the places we ate, this stood out to me. One of the places we ate, we were in Florida, and we ate at this place in Fort Lauderdale called the Pirate Republic. It was kind of a cute place, whatever. Pirate themed and all that stuff. So we're walking out to leave, and I notice a car sitting there. And it was a Porsche Taycan. Now, it stood out to me for three reasons. One, because it's Porsche, and it's black, and so it was pretty sleek, right? Two, I noticed the license plate, which tells me that it was the owner of the Pirate Republic restaurant, because this was his license plate. Arrgh. Which I thought was really clever. And the third thing that stood out to me is that this car is parked literally right underneath a sign that says no parking or you will be towed. And you can see right here, what's this? That's a no parking zone. That's where it's parked. Translation? Because I drive a $150,000 vehicle, I can park anywhere I want. This law doesn't apply to me. Mostly guidelines, right? The pirate code is mostly guidelines as opposed to actual rules. This law doesn't apply to me. And we do that all the time. Well, I don't do that, but that's why. So I'm okay here. I'm not as bad as this, so that means this is okay. And we'll talk about specific example. I'm going to meddle a little bit later on. Anytime we make that concession or we make that statement, well, I'm not as bad as. Guess what? That's not freedom. That's slavery. That's slavery to that thing, to that idea, to that action, to that attitude that is not freedom because it's harmful to somebody else, yourself or somebody else, right? God wants everyone to live. Now, that's the bad news, right? That we're all in slavery. We're all in captivity. That's the bad news. The good news is God wants everyone to live in freedom. And just as we see everything in this book is the story of mankind's captivity, then the rest of the book is God's plan to set us free. Let's read Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. It is throughout the entire Old and New Testament. Let's read on. Jenny said this in her prayer, John 8:36. So if the Son makes you free, then you will be free indeed. Let's read Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Old Testament is the physical captivity. The New Testament is the spiritual release from captivity. Everything that God had planned for thousands of years, from the moment in the garden when He says to Adam and Eve, you know, you guys messed up and life's going to be hard for you, but I'm not going to leave you there. I love you too much to leave you in that captivity. I'm going to make a way for you to be free once again. And I am going to crush the opponent, the liar, the one who stands in opposition to my freedom. I'm going to crush him underneath your feet. And so He set this plan in motion. And for thousands of years, He moved towards that moment of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, paying for all of our sin, paying for all the stuff that would keep us in captivity. when Jesus Christ hangs on a cross and uses the last breath in his lungs to say, "It is finished," all right, he may as well be William Wallace using the last bit of his air in his lungs being drawn and quartered to yell, "Freedom!" That's why Jesus Christ hung on a cross, for your freedom. Jesus died to pay for all of our sins, the external, which are our actions, and equally or even more so damaging, the internal ones, the attitudes that keep us in bondage. Freedom matters most to God, and so he sent his very best. He gave a part of himself to guarantee it for everyone who would cry out to him. Right? We read in Exodus, the bondage, the people in bondage, they cried out, "God, will somebody help me?" And so God said, "I will help you. I will do what no one else can do. I will answer you." He came to set us free from every addiction or harmful behavior that we agree to or that we concede to. "I'm not as bad as, this one doesn't really apply to me." All captivity, he wants to set you free from all of it. Because he does not want you to live in captivity in any area of your life. We're not just talking about physical liberation, which is a wonderful thing. We shouldn't take it for granted. But we can live in physical freedom, as we do in this country, and still be in emotional or spiritual or mental or financial or relational imprisonment. And God wants you to be free in all those areas. And as this series goes on, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a lot of these different areas, how God wants you to live in freedom in those areas. And what the cost is, right? Because freedom comes with a cost. God wants everybody to live in freedom so that you can drop the chains and be free. Now, what's the cost of freedom? Again, we talk about Memorial Day. This is what why we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in establishing and maintaining or protecting our freedom. Thomas Jefferson said in 1787, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure." That's what causes it to grow. Now, it's interesting, the context of when he wrote this and why he wrote it. 1787, 11 years after the Declaration of Independence. You know what they're working on? Working on the Constitution. That's right, Frank. Frank's student history. he got a draft of the second draft of the Constitution. And he read it, and he's like, "There's some really good things in here, and there's some things that really make me nervous." He's like, because we're talking about the Constitution that is going to establish how we are going to govern ourselves as a country. This whole idea of freedom is kind of a new thing, and there's some growing pains that go along with it. And they had a revolt in Massachusetts, and some people got hurt. And as a result of that, the Founding Fathers were like, "We have to do something to ensure that nobody gets hurt again." And so we had to establish all these rules and all these things, and maybe a magistrate, and maybe we should have some kind of somebody who knows what to do for us and just has this universal power. So like a king who would reign forever. And Thomas Jefferson kind of went, "Yeah, time out. We've been there. It didn't work out so well," right? And so he is cautioning. He's saying, look, he's like this. He said, in 11 years, he said, we had one incident where things, the growing pains of freedom and people hurt one another. He said, that's not a reason for us to have this knee-jerk reaction and become this totalitarian state to go back into tyranny again. He said, the whole thing got blown out of proportion. The media took it and ran with it. He said the opponents, the English, took it, got a wind of it, and they blew it out of proportion and spread it to all the world and said, look how bad America is, and look at all the, it's chaos and it's anarchy and they don't know what they're doing, all this stuff. Does any of this sound familiar? Thomas says, hold on a second. Now this is, he's talking about, he said, it is better to sacrifice a few lives in pursuit and defense of freedom rather than to put yourself back into tyranny. Well, I don't like that idea at all. But that's what he said. So his translation, don't be hasty to bring about something worse than the growing pains of freedom. It is better to deal with that than to deal again with tyranny. He said, those who would oppose freedom have to be removed. And those who would defend freedom sometimes have to sacrifice themselves. Does any of that sound familiar? Now, before anybody runs out of here and goes blowing down the doors of your local mayor's office to stage an uprising or anything like that, that's not what I'm talking about here. We have to understand, though, that the fight for human beings to be free has existed since the first man and woman walked on the earth. This is not something new. This is not some new crisis that we're facing. It existed long before this country came into existence, let alone before the current political landscape. Okay? This fight goes back to its very core. It is something that all of humanity faces. Because God wants you to walk in freedom, and there is an opponent who wants you to be in captivity. Adam and Eve traded away their freedom for comfort. They tried to take a shortcut to what would have been theirs anyway. Eternal life, prosperity, peace, hope, knowledge, all those things. Traded it away so that, I can be like God. Understand, from Genesis until today, same devil, same schemes, same lies. He's trying to get you to trade away the freedom that you have by dangling something in front of you that cannot fulfill what he promises. So we understand. Remember I said that there was 2 points to Galatians 5:1? God wants you to walk in freedom. And we have to resist the enemy and his schemes who wants to drag us back into slavery. Let's read 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Resist him. Again, implies something that is ongoing, not just once and done. Okay, well, I did it once, and now I never have to bother it again. No, resist him continually. Why? Because he is continually pursuing you, trying to get you back into slavery. So long as freedom exists in this world in any way, shape, or form, the enemy will be a force and try to exert his will to get you to tear it down. This battle, it goes beyond our lifespan. It is the age-old battle between good and evil, between freedom and captivity. God on one side of it and the devil on the other. So don't be surprised when you see it playing out in the local level, on a global level, anywhere in between, you're going to see this, these forces at work. Now remember, our fight is not against flesh and blood, it's not against human beings, but against the enemy who schemes, the enemy who uses people and manipulates him to bring about his agenda, just in the same way as God uses you and I to pursue his agenda and promote it. But we have to be aware of it, okay? Well, how do we do that then? Understand, again, we're going to make a correlation here. Freedom is threatened. No question of that. Understand how the freedom in this country is a representation of the freedom that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Same devil, same schemes. The same schemes he uses to attack the independence we have in this country is the same schemes he's going to use to threaten your freedom as a believer in Jesus Christ. From your addictions, from your hurts, from all that stuff. The same scheme. Understand, America represents unlimited potential. America remains the greatest country on the planet because more people want in than want out. The entire world recognizes that America is the land of unlimited opportunity. Whatever kind of life you want, you are free to come here and pursue it to the best of your ability because we guarantee you 3 unalienable rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How you get there, that's up to you. Now, we're going to have those guide rails in place to keep you from banging into somebody else, and it negatively impacting their freedom, which is why you can't use criminal means to accomplish what you want. You want a job? There's plenty of jobs. You want to make more money? There's different ways for you to advance yourself, to gain the knowledge that gets you in a better hiring job. You want to start your own business? Go ahead. But freedom comes with a cost. Requires sacrifice. You know, our independence from England was not won by saying, "Hey, I want to be free, so you go with that." No. We had to go to war to do it. And ever since then, and all, you know, whether it's on our own turf in the Civil War or around the world wars, the wars in Afghanistan, the wars in the Middle East. Anywhere where we see freedom being threatened, and then there has to be a personal investment in it. You know, when somebody else's freedom is threatened, and that's going to impact our freedom, then we'll get involved. There are those who will stand up and say, "No, we're going to defend freedom at all costs, here or around the world, because freedom is a right that should be enjoyed by every person." But when we trade comfort for sacrifice, we put ourselves back into captivity. I want to say this, you know, freedom comes with a cost. Freedom was, you know, independence was declared July 4th, 1776. That does not mean that we don't have to uphold it and defend it on May 29th, 2022 and beyond. When we trade comfort for sacrifice, we put ourselves back into captivity. We do this here. I'm going to talk about permissiveness in a minute. Actually, let's talk about it now. The forces at work in this world disguise captivity as freedom because they equate permissiveness with freedom. Do whatever you want, wherever you want, with whoever you want, and that's freedom. No, that's slavery. That's slavery to your desires. That's not you being master over those things. At the same time, those same forces that work to bring about this culture of permissiveness are going to work to limit and restrain those who would oppose tyranny. They do that by disarming, dissuading, and distracting. Again, does any of that sound familiar? This fight is bigger than the last 2 years or beyond. Goes all the way back to the very beginning. What did the enemy do in the very beginning in the garden? He disarmed him, he dissuaded him, he distracted him. Is that really what God said? He disarmed him. He distracted him. "Oh, yeah, but you could have this here." Dissuade him. "Oh, well, you know, God doesn't know. It's not in your best interest to listen to God." It's the same tactics over and over and over again. You know, what does he say? What does a culture say today? Okay, right? Restrictions are outdated. Laws, you know, those laws need to be changed. They, you know, we've had them for 200 years, but they need to be changed. Because, what else do we say? Discipline for yourself or for other people. That's harmful. That's not allowing that person to be who they need to be. Self-restraint. Well, that's just harmful for yourself. Why would you do that? No. Give in to everything. Whatever your thought is, whatever your desire is, that's how you identify. That's how you're supposed to be then. And when we do that, those desires become the masters. They are master over us rather than us being master over those things like God intended for us in the beginning. So our freedom in the country is threatened. Well, how do we combat that then? How do we defend our freedom? How do we defend our country's freedom? First of all, it starts with you. You be the example. You be the example. You have each and every one of you has a circle of influence, people who look to you, who are being influenced by you. They look to you as a role model. So you set the example. Use the voice that God's given you. Don't shy away from conversations. Speak up about those. When you see freedom being impacted, say something. Whether it's, you know... Whether it, okay. No, we're going to get into that in the next, because that's a rabbit trail, and we're going to talk about these things in look, this message is not a, this is not a political message. This is not a social hot button message. We're going to talk about those things moving forward, okay? But it's about the this message is about understanding how God wants you to walk in freedom in every area of your life, and there is an enemy who wants to put you in captivity in every area of your life. Okay, live as the example, serve your community, get involved. You know, if you can't complain about the state of things if you're not doing trying to, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. Exercise your right to vote by supporting leaders who are going to promote the ideals of freedom. Arm yourself with knowledge. Folks, I can't stress this enough. You have to arm yourself. Well, that's just how I feel. That argument just doesn't cut it. Okay? Whatever your topic is, you know, your particular hot button, whatever it is, arm yourself with knowledge. Know why these things are good or bad. Why they are helpful for all of mankind, or they are harmful to those things. Have the facts. Right. Be open to conversation. All right. Engage in meaningful conversation. Can I ask you all a favor? Just stop with the posts. You know how many people have been won over by your Facebook arguments? Zero. Not once has somebody on the opposing side of your argument gone, "Well, that's a really good idea. I think I'm going to listen to that now." Try this. Sit down with a cup of coffee and look them in the eye and have a conversation with them. A conversation. Listen. All right? And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. It will expose the lies. It will expose the deception. It will expose the captivity. Then you can have a conversation. Understand the long-range effects of what you restrain or give permission to in your life. And we're going to talk about more about this in a minute. But the simple question to ask yourself, is this thing, what I believe in, what I'm promoting, what I'm posting about, right? Is it good for everyone or just good for me? One of these is slavery and one of them is freedom. All right. Now, in the same way that the freedom in our country is threatened, the same enemy uses the same schemes to take you back into captivity in your personal faith and your walk with Jesus Christ. Again, Christianity represents the land of opportunity. It is unlimited potential because it's not a religion. Religion is a set of man-made laws that tries to reach up to God and reestablish that relationship, and it falls short. Christianity is better than all those things because it is not religion. It is a relationship because God has reached down and done for us what we can't do for ourselves. Unlimited potential through the pursuit of what? The abundant life that Jesus promised you could have. John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and have it to the full." And so in Christ, you get to pursue that to the best of your ability in whatever way, shape, or form that God leads you to that abundant life. The epic adventure. Go pursue it. Now, the abundant life comes at a cost. It came at the cost of the blood of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, beaten beyond human recognition, suffocating, bleeding from every inch on his body to pay our sin debt. Just because freedom was established and won on a hillside 2,000 years ago does not mean it does not have to be defended May 29th, 2022 and beyond. Now, we don't have to go to the cross, but we do have to maintain the freedom that he's won for us. And we'll get to that in a minute. The same enemy disguises himself as an angel of light to entrap you by means of permissiveness and complacency. Well, that's not really what the Bible says. That's subject to interpretation.